Hey, Pastor Matt Harvey here. Thank you for listening to the LifeSpring Church Sermon Podcast. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you're blessed by what you hear today.
Tell someone happy Father's Day before you take your seat this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. There's a lot of women told Happy Father's Day just now, and I think that was hilarious. That was not what I intended, but it was awesome. You guys never fail to make me laugh. Well, good morning. I want to welcome you to LifeSpring Church this morning and welcome anyone who may be joining online. For anyone who may be new or listening for the first time, my name is Matt Harvey, and I have the honor of serving here as lead pastor at LifeSpring Church. Just one more time. I feel like I'm going to do this every Sunday until I don't, and then I'll do it again the next Sunday. I just want one time just to give it up for our worship team for leading us in worship. Yeah, we appreciate that so much, and it's such a joy for me, too, because that's where a moment that I really feel like I'm being fed before I come up here and try to feed from the Word. I hope you all like our underwater decorations up here this morning. We did this all for Father's Day. Yep, this is our Father's Day decorations. But no, seriously, happy Father's Day to all our dads in here this morning. And to my dad who did our scripture reading this morning. I thought that was super cool to have him up here being a part of the service. We're going to be taking a break from our series in the Gospel of Luke this morning, and we're going to head to the Old Testament. I think it's only fair whenever we had our guest speaker here, Adam Bailey, on Mother's Day. He went to the Old Testament for a Mother's Day sermon, so I'm going to the Old Testament for a Father's Day sermon. And we're going to be right here in 1 Kings, reading what my dad read this morning, receiving some of this fatherly wisdom from King David to his son Solomon in honor of Father's Day. So we'll go ahead and pray, and then we'll dive into the Word. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just thank you that we are able to look to you as a good, good Father, Lord, that we are able just to trust in you as we would a good Father, that we are able to just depend upon you, lay our anxieties and our burdens at your feet like we would with a good, good Father. Lord, I know that many of us don't have a earthly example of a good Father, Lord, and I know days like this could be especially hard, God, but I just thank you that you have given us an example, Lord, that you have given us an adoption to become your children, God, and that we can walk through this life trusting in you, leaning on you, Lord, even when things in our path and our circumstances seem like they're getting out of hand or like we're losing control, Lord, we're able to trust in you knowing that you are in control and that all things are working for our good and for your glory, God, and we just thank you that you are that good Father to us and that we can celebrate that today as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Reading in 1 Kings, be a little bit redundant this morning, but I just want to keep it fresh in our minds as we read through 1 Kings 2, 1 through 4. It says, "When David's time to die drew near, he commanded Solomon his son, saying, 'I'm about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong and show yourself a man and keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and keeping his statutes, his commandments, his rules, his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn, that the Lord may establish his word that he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons pay close attention to their way to walk before me in faithfulness with all their heart and with all their soul, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel.'" So we're reading here this morning in 1 Kings, and we see that King David is at the end of his life. And just like if you read what Jacob did with his sons, what Moses did with Joshua, what Joshua did with the leaders of the nation of Israel before their time to pass, David is giving this sort of last will and testament to his son Solomon. And what we're seeing here is he's instructing his son with wisdom and these charges that he's giving him. He tells his son Solomon that he's about to go the way of all the earth. You know, this is the promised conclusion that all of us who have been born have, that one day we will pass from this life and into the next. And David begins his last words to his son by reminding him of this, that this is the way that all the earth is going to go. This is a journey that we are all going to take. You know, last week I quoted a commenter who said that death is not the chief end of humans, but facing and knowing God is. And that's what David is reminding Solomon of right here in this moment, that this is the promise to all of us who have been born, that we will one day pass from this life into the next. David is saying that he's about to embark on this journey that everyone must one day take. You know, we're promised one day that we are going to meet the Lord, and on that day we'll make an account for the way that we lived our lives. And so that's the charge that David is giving to Solomon here. He's trying to instruct him, give him wisdom from his deathbed. You know, explain to him like how we steward the time that we're given, how we steward the possessions that we're given, the finances that we're given, the families that we're given, the spouse that we're given. We're called to be good stewards of all of these blessings that come down from the Lord and are bestowed upon us. We're to keep the law of God close to our hearts so that we can walk in His way and so that we can keep His statutes and His commandments and His rules and His testimonies. This is the charge that David is giving to Solomon, who is about to step in as the new king. So he's charging Solomon. He charges his son. He's telling him to be strong. And this encompasses so much more than what we think of as being strong. But it's David's charge to Solomon to have courage, to show courage even when it's hard, to grow in his strength in the Lord, to grasp on to the wisdom of God and to keep hold of His commandments. These are the qualities of a man in David's eyes. This is what David sees as being a real man. Not being a self-made powerhouse who doesn't need anyone and is feared by all the people, which is sort of what the king of a nation of war would have been seen as. This is something that would have been, you know, if you're rising up as the king of Israel, this nation that is overtaking all these other nations, it would be fair to say the king should be this self-made, powerful man who doesn't need anybody and who's feared by all. But that is not what David sees as a true king. That's not what David sees as a real man. But David calls Solomon to be a leader who acknowledges his brokenness and his weakness before God, not thinking that he doesn't have brokenness or weakness, not thinking that those are things that are below him, but acknowledging those before God and seeking after God to lead and guide him. Now, this is how you show yourself to be a man. It's the actions of being strong and courageous in the Lord, holding on to, keeping guard of, watching over your faith and your service to the Lord. And we must actively work to keep guard against the adversary, because it does not take much to get us off track if we're not on guard. We can get off track really easy, and the enemy is really good at doing that to us. You know, and there's this one verse in scriptures that I think every guy probably has memorized when it says, "Wives, submit to your husbands." Right? We probably all have that memorized. I mean, that's really good stuff. Paul really dropping some good wisdom there. It hasn't. It's good stuff. I really appreciate Paul. But this verse only works in a mutually beneficial way if husbands are showing the love of Christ to their wives. Right? So that's the other side to the coin of a wife's submission, is a husband becoming more like Christ, showing the love of Christ to his spouse. Those of us men who are married, we're called to love our wives as Christ loved us. Christ is worthy of our submission to Him, and we must strive to be worthy of the submission of our wives. And our efforts to do that should be focused on following Christ in a way that is conforming us into His image, making us look more and more like Christ, someone who is worthy of our submission, the submission of the church, which the wife represents. You know, we should be becoming more loving and more self-sacrificial to love our wives as Christ loved the church, and He gave Himself up for the church. You know, this love should be manifested also in how we care for our wife's spiritual health. That's so important as well. We should be becoming, as we're trying to become more like Christ, we should be becoming more humble. You know, not thinking of ourselves as better or superior, but humbly serving as Christ served those who He ministered to. We should demonstrate servant leaderships. We should lead our families in a manner that shows our willingness to serve and care for them as Christ did with His disciples when He served them. We should be becoming more compassionate and more understanding and gentle as Christ was compassionate and gentle to those who were suffering and in need. You know, as we read in Colossians 3:19, it says, "Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them." We're trying to show the love that Christ showed to people who were in need. We should be becoming more faithful, upholding our commitments and faithfully pursuing our wives. And we should be becoming more forgiving, as Jesus clearly set a very high bar for that. And he forgave us of all our sins by his death on the cross to pay a debt that we owed, to give us an example of the forgiveness that we ought to show to others. You know, we should be becoming more of a protector and more of a provider as Jesus watches out for his followers, and he met their needs and kept guard over their spiritual well-being and led them and guided them and showed servant leadership to them. We should be becoming more patient, more self-controlled, pursuing always peace and reconciliation, not at the cost of truth, but in pursuit of truth in accordance with the Word of God. This is what makes us look more and more like Christ when we live out these actions daily. There's nothing unmasculine about it. I know when I say words like being gentle and being compassionate and being understanding, you know, I know a lot of these, when we think of them, it's like, well, this isn't masculine because this doesn't sound like something a caveman would do. But it's not about being a caveman. There is a war that is going on all around us. There's an enemy that is fighting for our attention, for the attention of your wife and your kids and your friends and your family. There's an enemy that seeks their attention, that wants their focus. There's a reason that Paul talks about us like we're soldiers in a war, because we are. There is a spiritual battle that is going on all around us, and we have to stay on guard, and we have to be alert for the sakes of ourselves and our loved ones. Because as men, we're called to be men. We're called to be leaders. We're called to fill this role. Did you know they did a study a little while back? It's probably actually been like 10 years now, so these numbers are not getting better. But there was a study where they looked at families where the father did not go to church, but the mother did. And what they found is 2% of children in a household where the mom goes to church but the father doesn't, 2% of kids go to church. But then they looked at the opposite. They looked at families where the father goes to church but the mother doesn't. 44% of those kids attended church regularly. Fathers have such an influence on their children. Dads, you have so much influence and such an amazing opportunity to lead. But sadly, the other thing we saw in that report is that less than half of our population of men attend church. And that number is dwindling. We're going in the wrong direction. This isn't us losing our masculinity because it doesn't sound like we're Vikings or warriors, because this is not that kind of behavior. This is real masculinity, when we have to stand firm in our faith when it's hard, when we have to lead, when we're tired, when we become an outsider because of our own convictions, when we have to have hard conversations with people we love because that's what real love looks like, when we sacrifice for others even when we don't think that they deserve it. That is what true masculinity looks like. And if you're a wife in here this morning and you're just loving all this stuff I'm saying right now, just know it takes a complete denial of self to embody these things and to look more like Christ. And it's not this easy overnight task that's going to make it happen, but it's a pattern of godliness, a growing in a relationship with Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit that will transform us. And these are the qualities that you should be fostering in your husband by patient encouragements, by displaying grace and mercy to your husband, by loving and supporting him to lead you as you submit to him. It's two sides of the same coin. And if you're a single guy in here today, these are the qualities that you should still be trying to strive towards and embody, because these behaviors flow from a heart that is set on becoming more like Christ and pursuing God and pursuing truth and wisdom of God's Word. And if you're a single lady in here this morning, these are the qualities that you should be looking for in a guy. You'll become a better reflection. As a woman, you will become a better reflection of the church when your man strives to become a better reflection of Christ. You strengthen each other. That's the purpose of a marriage. That's the purpose of that covenant. That's why God instituted it. Whenever he made man, whenever he made all of creation, he said it's not good for man to be alone. He realized that there was a way that man needed a partner, needed a helpmate, so that you could work together. You become one. That's why the Bible describes it as no longer two, but you become one. And so David, he's telling Solomon, he's saying to be strong, to show yourself a man by the action of this Hebrew word, by walking. This Hebrew word, it actually has a large meaning. It means to go, to walk, to die, to take, to lead, to escort. This is sort of this all-encompassing word, and it reminds me of Paul telling the Corinthians that whatever they do, do all to the glory of God. David is telling Solomon, he's saying, all that you do in life should be in accordance with the will of God. David's telling his son to walk in the way of the Lord, to walk in the path that God has for you, not the road that gives you the most comfort, but the road that leads you closer to God and to being more of a man of God and to being stronger in your faith in God. This is how we keep the charge of the Lord, by following Him and actively living in obedience to Him as He guides us. Our actions of just this pattern of behaviors of obedience lead us closer and closer to looking like Christ. You know, in this way, when we walk in His ways, when we walk in His ways, when we are watching over ourselves, we're watching over our actions, we're watching over our families, we're watching over our relationships to ensure that we are living and walking in a way that brings glory to God and points others to Him. And this is not, I mean, I realize as I'm saying it, I can feel the weight of it. I'm preaching to myself here as well. This is not an easy task to just actively pursue righteousness all the time. It's tiring. It's exhausting. Any guy in here knows exactly what I'm talking about. When you try to live and look more like Christ, you know, we have issues like testosterone and anger and lust and these things that are always being used as tools of the enemy to come at us with attacks. It takes a lot to resist. It takes a lot to pursue righteousness. It goes against the desires of our flesh. It requires that we deny ourselves and that we pick up our cross daily. It can't be something you do just when you have the time or the energy for. It needs to become a lifestyle. And that's what takes strength, is to make this a lifestyle. Only once it becomes a lifestyle for us are we able to more faithfully walk in His ways and lean on Him in our struggles. Got a gnat up here. So this reminds me of personal training in a lot of ways. You know, I think God intended for there to be this overlap between actions we do for physical health and actions we do for spiritual help. And I mean, you know, you have Paul writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, 6 through 8, and I'll have this on the screen, saying, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Personal training, fitness, things like that, they overlap so much with the spiritual side, with our spiritual health. And I think I've been able to see a lot of that as a personal trainer, because, you know, things like discipline and self-control and pushing through difficult times, because it's going to help you gain more endurance, it's going to help you grow, it's going to help you become stronger. You know, these things are present and necessary in becoming physically stronger as well as in becoming spiritually stronger. One of the things that I always tell my clients, especially when they have like a big weight loss goal, I said, this cannot be a thing you do just when it's convenient. You can't pursue fitness just when it's convenient. You can't just go on a diet and see results. You have to see a lifestyle change. You have to see this become a lifestyle for you if you want to see real results, real life-changing, lifelong, sustainable results. You have to change your lifestyle. It's not just about doing one or two things, right? It's about changing your mind, changing your lifestyle. If you just do it, you know, I tell them all the time, if you just do it only when it's convenient, then as soon as life gets hectic, your fitness routine is going to be the first thing that drops out the window, because you're going to say you don't have time for it because it wasn't a lifestyle. If you just go on a diet, you eventually have to come off of a diet. And then slowly that weight's going to come right back on and you're going to end up right back where you started. It can't just be a diet. It has to be a lifestyle change. I tell people you have to rewire your brains to live like a healthier person, and you will slowly become transformed into the image of that healthier person. And this is the same way with walking in His ways. We have to be disciplined. We have to be self-controlled. We have to push through trials and difficult circumstances. We have to gain endurance and become stronger in our faith. This becomes a way of thinking for us. It has to become the way we rewire our brain. You know, I think of Paul in Romans 12:2 when he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. With the power of the Spirit within us, we have to rewire our brains to live like Christ. And as we do that, as we are trying to live like Christ, just like the person trying to lose weight and live like a healthier person, when we try to live like Christ, we are being slowly transformed into the image of that person that our heart is set on and that God desires us to be. You have to live like that person. You have to change your lifestyle to fit God's way, not change God's way to fit your way. So David tells his son to walk in all his ways and keep his statutes and keep his commandments and keep his rules and his testimonies. You know, keeping his statutes, it means that we acknowledge God's authority and we're transformed by following him as our authority, as the supreme authority, following and obeying him in all we do. This is giving him the due honor and respect and worship and allegiance that he is deserving of. We keep his commandments when his word is kept close to our heart and fresh in our mind. Whenever we follow his authoritative direction, when we are led by his instruction, when we are being made new by the work of his Son and by the power of his Spirit within us, we keep his rules when we let God be the one who determines what is morally right or wrong. And his word gives us his moral law for us to follow. We have to change ourselves to see the world through his eyes, not change him to see the world through our eyes. That's idolatry. We are made in his image. We are the image bearers of the God of all creation, and we are made in his image to fill the earth and to show his glory. We are image bearers of the God of all creation, the one whom the angels stood around proclaiming, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." That is the one who we are made in the image of. We are made in his image to be living statues that reflect his awesomeness and to point to his greatness whenever we keep his testimonies. You know, we're called to be witnesses, to stand as those created in his image, to bear witness to him and to be living reminders of his glory and living warnings of his righteous judgment. We're called to be ambassadors for the kingdom of heaven and the gospel of Christ. But as men, fathers, men, single guys, all of us, as men, we are also called to be spiritual leaders and to set an example, to be an example, to strive to live in a way that we can say, like Paul tells the Corinthian church, "Follow me as I follow Christ. Imitate me as I'm an imitator of Christ." That is the way we have been called to live our lives, to lead. We're called to lead, and regardless of whether or not we are consciously leading, we are always leading those around us to something. That's the calling that we have. And this is the charge that David gives his son. He calls him to be strong and to show himself a man through the actions of keeping the charge of the Lord, of walking in his ways, of keeping his statutes and his commandments and testimonies. And in doing so, David tells Solomon that he will prosper in all that he does and wherever he turns. You know, David first instructs Solomon in his obedience to God before moving to his prosperity as king. Obedience to God must precede any successful endeavor. Success without a relationship with God is empty and meaningless. That's why Moses tells God, when the Israelites are on their journey to the promised land and God was saying that he was just going to send them and he wasn't going to go with them. And Moses said to him, he said, "If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. I don't want success if it means I don't have you." If we're not walking with God, nothing life can give us will really be of any value at all. But this is how we prosper in all that we do. True prosperity doesn't sound like dollar symbols. True prosperity sounds like, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." You know, this Hebrew word for prosper here, it does mean to have success, but more importantly, it means to understand and to comprehend and to become wise. And David is saying this in connection to the law of Moses. He's saying that, you know, the law of Moses, the words that the Lord has given to his people, David is telling Solomon that by focusing on these first things, these matters of first importance, this charge to be a man of God and to follow God in all his ways by these actions, he will have more understanding and become wiser and comprehend more of what it is that God wants for him and the life that he is supposed to live and the man that he is supposed to be in God. And that through this, through his understanding of this, through his growing in wisdom of God and his godly wisdom, these are the actions that are going to lead him to success. And this is what David's charging him with. I mean, he's about to become the king of one of the strongest nations in the world at this time. And this is the advice that David gives to Solomon, to follow after God, to pursue God, to walk in the way that the Lord has for him. By keeping these things, we show ourselves to be men. We show true strength. You know, it's not your bench press that makes you strong. It's your commitment to follow the Lord. That takes true strength. You know, with proper training and nutrition, people can become physically strong. But it's spiritual strength that is of ultimate value. And I'll tell you, I'll be real with you. I'll open myself up here. It was way easier for me to get to where I could bench press over 300 pounds than it was to fight the enemy when he wanted the attention of my eyes and when he was coming after my flesh and trying to get my focus. That is a much harder battle. It's not an easy thing to do. And that's why David sees this victory over the enemy, this victory over the flesh, and a commitment to follow the Lord as true strength and the evidence of a real man. Because that's the real battle. And this charge is sort of repeated for us in the New Testament from the Apostle Paul when he says in 1 Corinthians 16, he says, "Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love." So what does it look like to be a man and to be strong in Christ? Our strength is displayed and exercised when we walk in obedience to God, when it comes to standing up for the truth of God's word, even when it's uncomfortable. When we have to go against the grain, when we have to be the odd man out, when we have to get out of our comfort zone in order to be obedient to the word of God. You know, whenever we have to call sin out in a brother or a sister and point them back to the mercy of Christ, we're in a war. And if we get to the point of thinking that all that we have is this life and the pleasures of this life and the distractions of this life, we take our eyes off of the focus that we are in a battle, that the enemy is coming after us, he's coming after our wives, he's coming after our children, he's coming after our families and our friend. We lose focus on that. If we get so caught up in what's going on in the world and lose focus on the battle that is going on. I mean, Israel is battling real nations all the time. There is death, there is destruction, there is pillaging, and David's last words to him are telling him to be strong in the Lord. Be a man of God. Stay strong. Walk in all that the Lord has commanded you. And in this, you will have success and you will prosper. We can't afford to stay in our comfort zone all the time. We're in a war. We need to act like men and show ourselves to be men of God, to walk in His ways and to keep His statutes and to point people to God and to take this battle seriously. Now, this is the charge that David left his son with. We see him calling him to be a man of God. This is the example that he tried to be to him. And look at the influence that David had on his son. Over in the next chapter of Kings, 1 Kings chapter 3, we see Solomon is in power now, and it says, "Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he made sacrifices and made offerings at the high places." Solomon wasn't perfect. You know, you can read more about that in 1 Kings 11. It'll tell you all Solomon's mistakes. And David wasn't perfect. We're all familiar with David's failures. But you see this theme throughout the entire Old Testament. None of these men were perfect. None of them did it perfectly. They always needed someone else to come in and do it perfectly for them. But they were always striving towards perfection, always striving towards obedience to God in all they did. They all failed at some point and in really big ways. You know, whenever we're measured up to the law of God, we all fall short. All of us fall short, and we realize we're in need of a Savior. You're not going to get it perfect, but that does not mean that you don't pursue it with all your heart and your soul and with all your strength, because God's grace will carry you forward and His mercy is going to pick you up every time you fall. But we have to keep walking forward and moving forward and walking the path that God has for us and being the men that God has called us to be. The work to secure our salvation has been completed. But the charge given to Solomon from his father is a charge that we are still given today to be watchful and to stand firm in the faith and to act like men of God and to exercise our God-given strength through difficult times and difficult obedience to him. And David reminds us of what God promised him here at the end of verse 4 in 1 Kings 2. That by his instructing Solomon to follow after God and Solomon instructing his children to follow after God, to walk faithfully before the Lord with all of their heart and soul, said that there would never lack a man on David's throne. I thought that was such a really cool way to end this morning, because Christ is that king from the lineage of David. It is his throne that has been established forever. It is his dominion that is eternal, and he will reign when all else has passed away. He will still be seated on the throne. And David charges Saul, Paul charges us to follow Christ in a way that is worthy of being followed. Follow Christ in a way that you can say to your wife or to your friends or to your kids, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. This is an especially high calling for men, as we're the spiritual leaders in our households, and often the spiritual leaders in a lot of social situations that we're in, that we have a high calling. But we also have a great king on the throne, and we have a great high priest who is interceding for us, and we have a charge to be strong and to be men and to act like men and to stand firm in the faith and to do it all in love. And the only way that we can achieve all of these things is by becoming more like Christ, pursuing him in a pattern of day by day walking in obedience to the Lord. We'll go ahead and pray, and I'll turn it back over to the worship team. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I pray that you would just be with us today, Lord, as we leave this building. Lord, as we celebrate Father's Day, those of us who still have fathers in this world to celebrate, Lord, as those who struggle with Father's Day, either because an absent father or a father who has already passed away, Lord, we pray that you would just be with them and strengthen them and encourage them, Lord, but I also pray that you would just bring a revival to the men of this country, to the men of this state, to the men of this city. Lord, we know the impact that men can have on their families and in their communities when they are pursuing you. Lord, we've seen the statistics. We know from your word the power that you have placed in your word and in your gospel, Lord, that it is the power to salvation, God. And we just pray that, Lord, that you would just stir up the hearts of men in our area, stir up the hearts of men in our church, stir up the hearts of those of us who are present here today. Lord, help us just to be renewed in a passion to pursue you and to look more like you and to show your love and your grace and your mercy and your patience and your servant leadership to those around us. Holy Spirit, I pray that you just continue to conform us into the image of the Son of God, Lord, that we can be more like him, and that through that we can be living statues that reflect the glory of God, Lord, and that we can be successful ambassadors to your kingdom. In Jesus' holy name we pray.
Hey, thanks for listening. I hope that you enjoyed the sermon today. Tune in each week to hear a new sermon from LifeSpring Church, and hope that you're blessed as you go through your week.